Hey, mamas. Nothing makes my heart smile brighter than getting to sit down for a soul chat with a mama who's crossed over to the other side of her divorce. I get to savor in the beauty of her healing journey. I get to see her come back to life and feel alive again. I get to hear how healing impacts her children and beyond. I get to celebrate her wins and envision all that is still ahead. I get to bask in it all. What a sacred gift. I always see the possibility in the women that I have the privilege of walking beside. Yes, even in their brokenness, their despair, their fear, and their grief, and sometimes rage. I see through it and recognize a vulnerable little seed waiting to emerge from the tenderness of this pain to become, to free themselves, to grow, expand, and exhale into the full intuitive expression of themselves. Today, I want to share Lisa's story. Well, actually, I'll let her tell you herself. Lisa opens up about the realities of her journey and shares what it's like to navigate complicated custody battles, how triggering feelings lead to incredible personal discoveries, reclaiming her voice, surprising wins during divorce, fear of letting go of people and embracing change. All of that is possible when you lean into divorcing differently, Mama. Intuitively, you know there has to be a better way to get through this all. It's why you're here. Want what Lisa's having? Before you listen to our chat, let me read you some of her words. And I quote, "When you have a container like yours, the divorce journey can be safe, more courageous, and more rewarding. Now I'm completely in love with my kid and my work and my tiny little chosen family. There's a lot of love happening right now that I would never have anticipated before I met you guys." Wow. How amazing is that? Listen in, Mama. Hi there, Mamas. Welcome to the Intuitive Divorce Podcast. I'm Kristen Noel, certified divorce coach and creator of the Best Self Intuitive Divorce, a game-changing program that transforms the experience and outcomes of divorce, one mother at a time. I call it Divorcing Differently. I'm here each week bringing you a quick message to support, inspire, and empower you to achieve the outcomes you want for yourself and your kids. So let's dive into today's episode. I am so excited to sit down with you today for an intuitive divorce soul chat and to celebrate your journey through divorce. Lisa is a transformational coach and strategist who empowers creative entrepreneurs, leaders, and founders to navigate growth and change with clarity, confidence, and authenticity. And she's a grad of our coaching program. But her greatest job title, bar none, is that of mother to her soon-to-be 7-year-old son. And let me start by setting the stage and sharing that I remember when we first met and you were feeling really vulnerable and unhinged by the complicated custody battle ensuing over your son. It was a logistical nightmare that was incredibly triggering. And granted, this is probably the single most anxiety-producing aspect in divorce that can bring a mama to her knees. We weren't going to let that happen to you. But your journey is really testament to the power of why honoring your own needs and getting support is a game changer to get you through the ups, downs, and all arounds, especially the curveballs that get tossed your way. And so I think that's probably a really good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that you are successfully on the other side of your divorce, though ostensibly still navigating complicated custody battles, tell us what you would say to another mama who stands where you once stood. Or maybe another way of putting this is to say, if you were to go back to the Lisa of the beginning of your divorce, what might you say to her now?
Breathe more. Stop waiting to enjoy your life again. It goes on for a long time, you know, and you have to find a way to get support. You have to find a way to feel understood in your own life so that you're not constantly having to rehash it. Yeah, and finding a way to not wait to start your life again. I think a lot of us, when we start going through this, we're like, well, I'll start the new business, or I'll start a new relationship, or I'll start whatever section of my parenting journey or traveling again or whatever it is that we actually want for our lives. We put it on hold even longer than it's already been on hold to complete this part of this process that will probably be ongoing for a long time that we have very little control over. We only have control over what's happening for ourselves internally and the parts of our lives that we can actually take control of. But it's not really the core system or our co-parents.
I'm actually really glad you brought that in, because obviously it's a disruption, right? But it is something that makes us feel like, oh, okay, everybody stop what you're doing. We have to, life on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Life on hold. And that is such a good point. You know, and I know it's also really hard to imagine, like, how am I supposed to live, like, when all this is going on around me? Or how am I supposed to feel alive? Or how am I supposed to dot, dot, dot? But to your point, you got to find a way. It's not life on hold. It's just life in divorce.
This is life in divorce. And the more you find a way to not be on hold, the better you can show up for your kid and for yourself and for whatever's ahead of you, and even for your relationship with your co-parent and for whatever has to happen in court. And the more you're in your own life, the more resourced you are for those things.
I think also another thing you said, which is such a good point, it's just, I mean, nobody thinks it's going to go on as long as it goes on.
God, I had no idea. If I knew the things I know now about divorce and custody, I would have made different choices in getting married.
Well, I mean, and the other thing is, we can't possibly know, because obviously there are a lot of mitigating circumstances, right?
Yeah.
It depends how backlogged the courts are in your county. It depends on how contentious your ex is. It depends on what condition you're in. I mean, there's a lot of circumstances we don't control.
Exactly.
But there are a lot of circumstances that you can control, right?
Yes.
And that's the empowering piece of this, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, the other thing I probably tell myself is make the choices that you feel in your gut are the right choices for yourself and for your child. And, you know, as part of a married couple, we want to make choices with our spouse, you know, and with our whole family in mind. And it's really hard to move from making choices as a group and making choices that you think will be good for the group to just doing the best you can to make the choices that you know you have to make for yourself and for your child, with sort of the respect and the trust that the other parent is doing the same as best they can do. And wherever you guys meet up, that's where you meet up. Trying to navigate it all for the other person as well is not a great plan.
I also love that you brought that into this conversation too, because it's also not setting you up well. I remember how open-hearted and loving you were, where you were really like, let's get to this place where we can do the holidays together. We can really co-parent and we could be. And while that is so beautiful, and I always tell mamas, hold on to that. Like, there's no reason that you have to let go of that. But be prepared that that may not happen like in this moment. That might be more of a long-term thing or something down the road. And so we have to be willing to sort of sit in that disappointment, even though in our hearts we could still hold on to the hope that, you know what? There are going to be events. You're going to have to show up and you're going to have to see each other. You know, when you've got a small child together, there are going to be school events. There are going to be sporting events, music events. Mm-hmm. There are going to be celebrations. There are going to be weddings one day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's funny you say divorce. It's something I've been learning a lot about myself, about divorce, disappointment, that you say disappointment. I've been learning a lot about that part of myself and sort of how much I twist myself around that experience, where I'm so uncomfortable with the feeling of disappointment that I'll do a lot to try to mitigate that. So while I think when you and Bill met me, I really was desiring this like beautiful outcome that we could all be proud of.
You were rushing to the end. You were at the happy ever after. Yeah.
I was rushing to the end of this thing where this thing didn't work out, but look how well we're doing this other thing and our kid's proud of us and our kid's happy and he's supported and it's great. But really, I was also really unconsciously just terrified of what that feeling of disappointment would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I was able to get sort of comfortable with that feeling that I started shifting, just being okay with grieving and just being disappointed and feeling a lot of stuff. when I could feel the stuff, I could move through it.
Yeah. Well, that's something also. It's like, I never want to hit mamas at the beginning, you know, and say, now listen, let's sit down and get this clear. This is going to take a long time. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to
take
a career. Because it's just too much. It's just too much. But there's a way of reframing that. Okay. And since we jumped ahead to this a little bit, maybe approach it with some curiosity. Like, okay, I've never been divorced before, and this is digging up a lot. And I may start discovering things about myself. And in that discovery, even though you're like, that's the last thing I want, you know, that's the last thing I want right now is any discomfort, any disappointment, any more bad feelings. But it's in that process that you begin to unearth the things that you're ready to deal with, the things you're ready to see, the things you're ready to heal. And you did a lot of that. Could you speak to that and sharing more of that with us?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to also say that I think one of the huge benefits of being in a group with people, and particularly in a group like you run, where people are coming in at all different times, so you get to meet people at all different stages of their journey, is it kind of normalizes that. So you meet people who come in and they're like totally spun out and they don't have a coherent thought about what they're going to do next. And then people towards the end where they're like, they're really going internal. You know, they're really thinking about how they want to show up for their lives and how they want to show up for this experience. And they're really, they're navigating it very differently. So, and you really just get the sense that it's not because of like their personality type or their character or anything like that. It's just where they're at with that process. So I think seeing all of that in your program was really helpful to just notice where I was in relationship to all those places. And having it reflected back to me so consistently by you and by Joe and by Bill, and like having you guys to consistently reflect back, noticing when I couldn't notice that there had been growth. Mm-hmm. That was so valuable.
Yes. Well, Joe also is so good about like just constantly really saying, did you just see that? Did you see that celebration? Did you, you know, because we bypass things. Right. And thank you for bringing the group into it, because just our class this week, I mean, obviously a lot goes on in that period of time, right? Like you said, mamas are in different places, right? And also in 7 days between our class, lots of life unfolds. So we never know what condition someone's going to come in or what experience they've had or what's triggered them. But there is this beautiful reflection that when you see someone who has successfully navigated their way through this, there's a piece of you that leans in and says, I could do that too. Mm-hmm. And I want what she's having. And if it's possible for her, it's possible for me. And separate aside from that, where we call this our sacred container, our tribe, it's also the space where you're safe to just show up as is, who you are, how you're feeling. And so many women don't have that. So many women don't have that space. And that space is not in your attorney's office. Your attorney can't be that person for you. And even, you know, truthfully, it's complicated with family and friends and coworkers and things. Like, you know, you just have a space where you could just be you.
Yeah, super valuable. And yeah, and I think for me, you know, even once I graduated, that learning continued for me, you know, and it kept evolving in me. And there was a whole period of integration where it just started kind of showing up in different ways. So I think even where I am now compared to where I was when I graduated is really different.
So going back to how we started this, because you brought in 22 great nuggets in that one segment. which I'm trying to pack. I'm like, we got to go back to that. But what I want to go back to also is your willingness, first of all, your willingness to show up for yourself, for your kid, for your divorce, even for your ex, holding this hope, you know, that the divorce could be something that it's been hard to get to, but holding on to that. Right? Holding on to that. But in that process, and because you showed up for yourself, all of these little things started percolating within you, emotional healing. So let's go back to that piece that surprised you. Some of the things that came up for you that may have surprised you, like just in your emotional healing journey.
I think, you know, I touched on this a little bit, but my relationship to disappointment, you know, which I find that as I'm healing that experience for myself, or at least I would not say I'm in the healed stage. I'd say I'm in the building awareness of it stage, where I'm really like, oh, okay, so there's a lot that I do in my life to avoid that emotional experience of being disappointed. And even
or disappointing
that,
others.
Or disappointing others, which is another version of being, you know, disappointed. You know, so I think in there is just this capacity for self-belief, where I am growing this belief that I can handle being disappointed, that it's okay for me to be disappointed, that there might even be growth in the disappointment. And what that's done for me is it's allowed me to file paperwork and let him handle his own emotional experience of that, you know, and to not feel disappointed by whatever reaction he's going to have, because those are his reactions to have. To even allow myself to let my son have his own emotional experience of what's happening without the fear or the sense that he might be disappointed, you know, just let him have his experience. And what I'm noticing as I'm growing is that I'm reaching out more with my work. So my work is becoming more expansive, and I'm taking risks that I was not willing to take before, because I'm okay being disappointed. I mean, of course I'll be disappointed if I put a ton of energy into something and I put it out there and nothing happens. Or if I like do a workshop and nobody shows up, or I do a workshop and people show up and I'm terrible at it, I'll be disappointed, but I know I can handle that experience now. And that's
okay. So I'm not going to let you gloss over this. Okay. So what I want everyone to hear, because you kind of just glossed over that, is that in this process, this very difficult and emotional process of navigating your way through these custody battles and really trying to figure out how you were going to get yourself through it, and then dealing with some of the surprise emotions that came up that you were able to process. By the way, I'm just going to say awareness is the key to everything. Like, we're never healed. We're never done growing. But when we have that self-awareness and we say, oh, disappointment showing up right now, that's an old habit for me, that's an old pattern, I can do something about it and I can pivot more quickly, I can recognize what's happening.
Yeah.
So in your willingness, in your courage, in your heart, and your wisdom to show up for that, this healing started happening slowly, gently, beneath the surface, and you started to really come alive again in other aspects of your life, and work being one of them. And feeling yes. really inspired. And suddenly you were talking about it and you're like, I'm creating a program. And so everybody listen to this. This yeah. is during divorce. Life yeah. isn't perfect. She's yeah. still got triggers. She's still yeah. going through stuff. But yeah. she also has found a way back to herself.
Yes.
So tell us about that yeah. and how it's like yeah. helped you. It's so juicy. What you.
Yeah, and I don't want to gloss over the first start of that journey, to use your term, which where I suddenly realized after leaving the house that we shared that I was too triggered all the time to really see clients. And so I actually stopped working for about a year and only recently started like seeing clients again and working on creative aspects of things. And while I was not seeing clients, I was doing back-end work, and that was great, but I was not seeing clients, and I sort of lost the capacity for being in that space with people. And I wish I had known then that that was okay. That was totally okay.
But that was actually prudent. That was really very, prudent
yes.
and really responsible and wise, and also loving.
Yeah.
Loving to yourself, giving yourself the space to do your own work.
Yeah.
You know, like we as coaches and helpers and servers and show-uppers, we have to walk the walk.
I would love to say that that's how it went, but just to normalize it a little bit, what actually happened is I kept sitting in rooms with people realizing I wasn't actually doing my job anymore. I was just sort of like not doing it. And I felt a lot of shame and a lot of disappointment about that, and a lot of sorrow and a lot of anger, like, and like blame towards my ex-husband about that, and embarrassment and like fear that it would never come back. I was like, oh shit, this thing I just took all this time and energy getting really good at, I'm not doing it anymore. And then slowly I started doing it again, you know, like really slowly in ways that felt safe for me. And now I'm doing it again, but that capacity had to grow back. Mm-hmm. And I think to just normalize that when we go through something so disorienting that other things are going to shift too, and that that's okay. You know, like whether you lose a parent or you lose a marriage or, you know, something terrible happens in your life, like things are going to shift.
Dare I say, this is your intuition. This yeah. is actually you tapping into your intuition, because just because we have something that rises up that we don't like,
It'll go back to that word self-awareness. You actually marinated in that. You said, okay, this is disappointment. This is shame. This is, I'm tuning out. I'm checked out. I'm not really showing up for work. You know what I need to show up right now for is my healing.
Yeah.
Even in that, there was great wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that is your intuition. Like, we have permission to pause.
We do. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's so interesting. When I came back to coaching, I was like, okay, I'm going to be starting all over again. And actually what I noticed was that I had a much richer, deeper experience with my clients almost immediately. And I think it's because of this experience. You know, we go as deep with people as we've gone with ourselves. And mm-hmm. I've gone a lot deeper with myself in the last 18 months. It's really been quite a journey that continues to...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's no surprise. Like, to me, it's no surprise that your work has just gotten deeper and juicier and richer and more authentic. Mm. And you're in love with it.
I am in love with it. You're in love with it,
which is so exciting. This is the thing. Yeah. It's like, no, that doesn't happen overnight, right?
Yeah,
and don't expect. I mean, and this is, I guess, what I would love to share with anyone else that's like maybe at the beginning. It's like they can't possibly imagine that things are going to start to feel good again.
Yeah. But yeah, I was disconnected from everything. And now I'm completely in love with my kid and with my work and with my tiny little chosen family. And I'm just, you know, there's a lot of in love that's happening right now that I would never have anticipated when I met you guys.
Listen, I would love to take all the credit, but I always say I'm just the container. I create the container and we walk beside women and we just keep reflecting back to them and reminding them who they are. And you know this is the work you do in the world as well. But the women that lean in and the women that show up to fill their own cups are the women that move the needle.
Yeah.
It would be lovely to say, okay, I'm going to just pop a pill and one day wake up and everything's going to be fine. You know, you probably are surprised that like one day you wake up and you're like,
yeah,
I'm actually okay. Yeah. I actually feel okay. And you know what? Not only that, I'm really excited to go sit at my desk and like program and meet my clients and keep creating, because now you have cleared some space, gotten rid of some of the gunk, and it's like you've created capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. I would love to say the journey was fun, but I think when you have companionship on the journey and you have a container for it, it can at least be safe and more courageous and more rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, how is your son doing? Tell us how he's doing.
He is amazing. I think he has two parents who like adore him, you know, and think he's the greatest thing ever and would rather spend time with him than pretty much do anything else. So I think that's great. You know, he lives in two very different houses and two very different worlds, and he seems to be quite adept at that, which is good. And he's begun to express a lot of emotional awareness and a lot of love, and he's really snuggly and he's really excited for the summer plans that are coming up. And he's just, he's great. And he's, you know, he's in his first year of like proper school. And that was a huge adjustment. He's been really brave and really strong, and he's turning all kinds of corners right now.
Any of the mamas who have any littles like you, what advice would you give them just about in terms of just getting, you know, worrying about getting your kids through this process?
You know, the one thing I did that was very intuitive that I am really proud of is I fought to keep my kid in the same program where he had been, which was a very slow moving kind of emotionally aware program that didn't demand a lot of him, you know, and I think that was really good. That continuity was good. And then when we segued to a school, like I found a program that similarly would meet him where he's at. Yeah, and fought for that too, because it felt really important to me that he have that kind of environment. And I think just making sure he was in environments where he could be himself and not have to process a lot of other stuff coming at him while he was processing all this internal stuff, I think has been really great. And, you know, I think in another year or so, he'll be ready for like a bigger, more sophisticated kind of experience that has more layers and things happening. But he's been in a really safe place for this entire experience.
He's got you. And you're amazing. Do you have any words of wisdom for example, keeping kids out of the chaos?
Yeah. I mean, like, resource yourself, you know, check yourself, have other places to talk about this stuff so that you don't feel compelled to discuss it in front of your kid. Mm-hmm. You know, be honest with yourself about like how you're presenting the other parent. You know, it's like that stuff is really sneaky. So,
and you know, sometimes it just slips out. You know, sometimes
I noticed that, although I was really good at never saying anything bad about his dad ever, mm-hmm. you know, never even implying anything bad, that I still caught myself having a certain tone with how I said his dad, how I referred to his dad, or asking him questions that of course I care about, but aren't necessarily relevant to his health and well-being about his dad, like what was happening at the dad's house. Like, this is not-
Yeah, there's a difference between questions and probing, right? Like, is this the Inquisition because I want to know, like, who's daddy right. with and what's he doing? Or right. totally. Is this relevant to, like, right. me having... Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's just about being checked in. I noticed that my kid in particular, whenever his dad would ask him questions about what was happening over here, and even when I would ask him questions about what was happening over there, that he clammed up a little bit. And I think he had some kind of awareness that there's conflict. And he loves mm-hmm. his parents. He loves us both. And he doesn't, you know, really want to be in the middle of it. So he's a smart little kid who's like, he's like taking himself out of it. And as soon as I kind of caught on to that, I just put myself on like a saying his dad's name fast. I just was like, I'm like giving up saying the dad's name for Lent kind of thing. And like for like a few months, I just never even mentioned his dad. Mm-hmm. And if he did, I would just sort of nod and smile and say, okay. Right. And like things started shifting and easing. And I felt like that created safety for my kid to know that there's nothing happening in my house that he has to feel conflicted about when it comes to his dad.
That's a beautiful thing to bring in, is that you create safety for them to express yeah. what needs to be expressed and to feel yeah. what needs to be felt and love yes. who they want to love, right? And another good point is, even when you were saying, I didn't talk about him in front of him, I don't, kids pick up on your tone. Yep. They pick up on your body language. They pick up on yep. your energy. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be like, you know, a robot, but you just want to realize yep. that they're watching you.
Yeah.
They're watching for your cues.
Yes.
Right?
And you have to know your own capacities. Like, I don't look at my phone or look at emails from my ex when my kid is with me unless he's just gone to bed. And I have the energy to do that.
Right.
Because I don't know what I'm going to find in those texts or those emails. And I don't know how shut down I'm going to get from that, how disconnected I'm going to get from that. Like,
right.
my own capacities for
coping. That's a really good tip.
I just don't, because I want to stay present with the time I have with my kid, and I want to be in a decent mood for that. You know, I want to be okay.
And actually, that goes back to what you said about awareness.
Yeah.
If you're aware, okay, I get triggered when ... when I'm looking sure. at texts from my ex, and this yeah. is very common, when I'm looking at texts or right. I'm getting messages or I'm getting emails or he calls, then don't do it.
A lot of stuff comes in when my kid's with me.
Right.
So I have
well, they'd love to do that, but then, as Joe would say, we put boundaries in place.
Right. And I realized that I was asking him to not do it. And I was like, oh, no, this is not on him. This is on me. I have to just not look, because mm-hmm. he's going to do whatever he's going to do, and he's allowed to do what he wants to do. So I have to have the boundary for myself. And the boundary is, when my kid's with me, I don't look.
Right. Yeah, so good.
That's really helpful. It's really, really helpful.
So co-parenting, obviously, is complicated in divorce, right? Especially when parents don't get out of their own way and they play emotional blackmail. Yeah. And while I know this piece is still in the mix for you, mm-hmm. so many other aspects of your life have fallen into place. And I'm really curious, like, when did you know that you were going to be okay?
When I let myself go on a long weekend with a friend. I took myself to Mexico City for my birthday, and it was the first time I had traveled in years, except to see like for family stuff. And the first time I traveled without my kid, and it was hard to do. You know, it was really hard to do. And it was fantastic. And just like having a different experience, feeling sort of like myself again, I was like, I'm going to be okay. Like, this is actually okay. And somehow when I came back, like the combination of that and the forward motion on my work and everything else, like I just started to realize that I'm going to be okay. And I think for me, the last piece that kind of fell into place was really deep processing about this experience I have of not wanting to initiate something legal that must be initiated, because I have so much fear Like the story I have in my head is, if I do this, then, and we don't ever find a way to parent, co-parent, it will be my fault, you know, and I can't handle that experience. And just getting to the place where I actually am okay handling that experience, that isn't necessarily the story. It's just, it may even be his story, but it doesn't have to be my story.
Well, it's also, it is okay to fight for what I know is right.
And it is okay for me to have a stance which is different than his. It's okay.
It's okay for me to have an opinion as a mother.
Yes.
To know what my kid needs and you know, like, for example, to advocate for this school that you advocated for and to keep his life as normal as possible. Yeah. Those were things that you intuitively knew. If I keep these in place, this is going to be in his best interest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make some child-focused decisions here. This is not tit for tat. It's not a tug of war over the kid. This is what's in his best interest.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you took that trip, because what that is filling your cup.
Yeah.
If you fill your cup, then you can, like you said, you can take care of your kid. You can show up for your divorce. You can be the calmest woman in the room. You can be grounded and you can show up for the hard decisions. And you can actually be aware and have that self-awareness to say, am I making this decision for the right reason?
Yeah.
And right meaning, you know, not like right or wrong judging things, but like, is this from my ego or is this a child-focused decision? Is this an intuitive decision that's aligned with my heart? You know, something that I really am going to be fine living with.
Yeah, it takes a while to get there sometimes. Like sometimes you're like, yep, that's an easy one. Other times it's a couple of months of really suffering it, you know, before you decide that you know it, that you know well enough.
But I also think that now, given all that you've done, you now pivot much quicker.
I do. Yes.
Our triggers don't go, they just don't disappear. Like we can kick them out of the house and they're going to still like keep knocking at the door, right? It's just acknowledging like, okay, got it, triggers here, but now I'm going to do X, Y, and Z.
Right. Yeah. Or, oh, that was really painful and I'm going to reset a little bit, but I don't need to lose the whole week because that was so draining or that was so exhausting or so triggering.
That's another really good point. It's like, you know, when you're going to go down the rabbit hole, like been there, done that. And I know where this leads. So I'm going to choose. I'm either going to like respond and go down the rabbit hole. You know, if I go down the rabbit hole, I go down the rabbit hole, but I'm relinquishing my life force for X amount of time, or I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So easy.
You definitely start learning. You start learning like what's actually relevant. What's just the thing they want to engage about that you don't have to engage about? What's the thing that you want to engage about, but that you don't actually have to engage about?
Mm-hmm.
And your communication gets clearer and cleaner as you go, and you just put less and less energy into it so that you have more and more energy for your actual life and for your kids' life and your relationship with them and everything else is actually important to you.
One thing I think is really important is I think that you can still stand up for yourself and hold hopes that down the road something can look like X, Y, and Z. You know, you could still hold these beautiful visions that maybe one day we will be able to be in the same room. Maybe one day we'll be standing next to our kid and be civil to each other. It's not you have to choose one or the other. It can be both and.
It can be both and. Yeah. Yeah. And also it's okay to just be wherever you're at and to just hold out hope for even being at that place someday. And I think I'm closer, you know. I'm holding both of them. I'm closer to that. But it is even now still a little bit aspirational.
Yeah, but this is your gorgeous receptivity to show up in this messy human experience and just embrace it. And it's one of the reasons that I'm so happy that I got to sit down and to share your story and celebrate you today, because I really hope that another mama that's watching this understands that this wasn't the way you felt at the beginning, but because you leaned in, because you filled your cup, because you went to Mexico, because you nurtured yourself, because you came to group and cried and in your messiness or whatever, just you were real. You just were raw and real and you kept going. Now, like life is really, really coming alive again. Your work has gotten so rich. You are so grounded. Things are moving in the direction that you want. And there's so many chapters that are still unwritten. And you're writing them now.
Yes. And I thank you for being part of that journey.
Well, like I said, I've got the best job in the world. And so, honestly, it's not, it really is. Cause like when, you know, I never know when it's going to happen. I never know how it's going to happen, but when it happens and I see that aliveness percolating back up in a mama, I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. It's literally a slice of grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to thank you again for being here. And I'm going to read a Joseph Campbell quote that I read earlier this week, and it made me think of you, and it made me think of all the mamas that are navigating this messy, bumpy process right now. So it's from Joseph Campbell, and he said, "We must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us."
Wow. I love that. I love that. Thank you.
So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for showing up for yourself and for your kid and your community and all the people that are going to benefit from working with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was really just so great to connect with you and to have this time.
I always envision, I'm like, I can't wait to do an interview with her. I can't wait for her to be on the other side of this so that we can sit down and talk about it and celebrate it.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, but more importantly, for making this time for yourself. If you're a professional, independent mother facing off with divorce, struggling with your emotions, worried about your kids and your future, and want a better way to navigate it all, I've got two ways to completely change the trajectory of your divorce and your life starting today. The first is our free divorce workshop. In this training, you'll learn the three steps to get off the emotional roller coaster and take control of your divorce so you can save time, money, and heartache for you and your family. Simply go to intuitivedivorce.com/workshop. And the second way is to book a free strategy call with our team, where we'll dive into your situation, your struggles, what you really want, and outline a path to get you there. For a short video and the booking link, go to intuitivedivorce.com/call. Check it out, and I'll see you inside. Now I have a favor to ask you, Mama. If you enjoyed this conversation and were inspired in your own divorce, please subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss future juicy talks. And I'd be so grateful if you'd leave a review so together we can help other mamas walking in the same shoes.